Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
I don't want to preach now because I just want to sit and listen to Mark singing these songs, like just getting into the heart of worship. That wasn't a joke. That was a serious, like, just feeling the presence of God in this place. Like, there's a part of me that just wants to sit in that for a moment and just let the Spirit speak to each one of us. We're in a series on what we believe, and we're going to be talking about a belief this morning. And as we go through this message, I really just want to, again, highlight, as Mark was leading us, the Spirit wants to speak to us today. Some of this is going to be a little bit academic, heady, complicated. There's some big words. But God's going to speak to us through this. And again, I'm feeling my own heart just feeling like softened and worked on just coming out of that time. So thank you, Mark. Thank you for that. I think we would all agree that each one of us has tried to get better at some point. We all want to be good. We all would like to be perfect. We try very, very hard and work very, very hard at becoming better people. Maybe we attend self-help conferences or read self-help books. We go to seminars and conferences, and we want to be better. We want to be a better parent. We want to be a better spouse. We want to be a better employee. We want to be a better boss. We want to be a better person. We want to be more athletic. We want to be smarter. We want to be better looking. We want to become more impressive to other people. And so we work on ourselves, and you may hear expressions from yourself or from someone else saying, you know, I'm just a work in progress. I'm just a diamond in the rough, and I'm just getting worked on, right? We're putting in the effort to become something more to reach our potential. Some of us have that philosophy of the little engine that could. So we're like, I think I can, I think I can, I know I can, I know I can. If I could just get better, I know I could do it. I know I can fix that problem that I have. I know I could get better at work and with my family. Like, I can do this. Like, I could get better at this thing. So I'm going to work really hard to perfect myself. And then we run into obstacles. We get short-tempered with our kids. We experience conflict that goes unresolved for a while with our spouse, and then there's bitterness and resentment, and it just feels tense all the time. We battle an addiction that we can't seem to kick the habit of. We mutter expletives under our breath when the boss or the rude customer gives us a hard time at work. And we quickly realize that all these little tiny issues, these little imperfections are just reminders that we don't have it all right. We don't have it all together. We're not perfect. And then we come to church. And you may have had something said to you one time about how Jesus is the model for our faith, that he is our example. And Jesus was perfect. So we hear that and we go, man, Jesus was perfect. I'm supposed to be like Jesus. I ain't perfect. This seems like a catch-22. Like, what am I supposed to do with this? I can't be like Jesus. There's no way. So I try and I try and I try, but I constantly fall short of his standard. We keep trying because we just know that there's something missing in our lives. We try, we fail, we try again, we fail again, we try some more, we fail some more, and on it goes. And then maybe some of us become disenfranchised. Maybe we get hopeless. Maybe we get anxious and insecure about ourselves. We see these imperfections in us and we try to hide it. We try to mask it. We try to overcompensate for it because we just can't allow others to see that we have flaws. God forbid someone sees that I am imperfect. I need to cover that up. And so then we begin a pattern of hiding our junk so that we can fit in at church and fit in at work and fit in with other people and not feel judged so that we can become comfortable with our faults. and justify them to ourselves every chance we get. And then maybe we just conclude that, well, I'll just have to wait until I die and go to heaven, and then I'll be perfect and it'll all be good. And who cares what happens in this life? I'll just be a diamond in the rough, a work in progress, and I'll keep trying, and we'll see what happens, and I don't care if it works out or not, but I'll keep trying, I'll keep getting anxious, and it'll just spiral, spiral, spiral. This is not what we believe is possible for us that follow Jesus. We're going to be talking about this word today, this belief called sanctification. Everyone say sanctification. Great big word. Some of you are probably like, what is happening at church today? What are we all getting into? This sounds scary. Let me give you a quick definition. We have another slide there for it. Sanctification simply means to be set apart or to be made holy. And this is a lifelong, ongoing work of the Holy Spirit that transforms us, transforms a believer's heart and their life to become more like Jesus. Okay? This is not about us trying. This is about the work of God in our lives through the Holy Spirit because of the work of Christ to make us holy, to make us set apart, to make us more like Him. It's not about our effort. It's about the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Okay, I want to make sure we have that defined because we're not at all talking about our efforts this morning. We are talking simply about the belief of sanctification as a work that the Holy Spirit does in and through us. Amen? Good so far? All right, so where do we get this idea from? Because, like, anyone could just say that that's a belief we have and then hope for the best. This comes from Scripture. And so here's a list of Scriptures that we're going to dig through. There's a lot of them. We're going to read through them. I'm not going to expound too deeply on each one because there's a lot. And also, this is not all of them. There are way more in the Bible that we could look at that talk about sanctification. But this is just kind of like a highlight reel, just to kind of get us introduced to the topic, get us introduced to the idea. All right, so we're going to start with Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. It says, "You shall be holy to me, for I am the Lord and holy, and have separated you," or in other translations, "I have set you apart from the other peoples that you should be mine." Be holy as God is holy. There's that standard of holiness that is within God that we are to be like. So then maybe we stop there and we go, we just got to keep trying, right? We just got to try to be holy, right? Is that what we're talking about? No. We go to Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, where it says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, they will be my people." This is a work of God done in our hearts. This is not our efforts. He is going to write His laws on our hearts. This is fulfilled. This prophecy is fulfilled in the book of Acts at the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes and fills all the believers, and so that's when that takes place. And so now we have the Holy Spirit living within us, and so what happens now? Well, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2 say, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Being transformed. This is the work of God doing the work of transformation. It's not me trying to go transform myself. I got to do a bunch of weird rituals and I transform myself. It's God transforming me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 says, "You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God." The work of the Holy Spirit. Galatians, or sorry, I missed one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We are a new creation because of the work of the Holy Spirit, this act of sanctification. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's no longer my life, it's the life of Jesus in me. And so the Holy Spirit is making me be like Jesus so that my life is like his. Sweet. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God's doing the work in us. He's doing the work. First Thessalonians 5, 23. Say, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then finally with 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 16, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. A callback to Leviticus. These scriptures point to this idea, this belief, this doctrine of sanctification, this work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that is lifelong, that is the work of him to make us more like Jesus. What these scriptures and what this belief all point to would be this main point here today. God wants all of you. Yes, we are a work in progress, but it is not us doing that work. It is God doing that work because he wants all of us. He wants our entire being. He wants our soul. He wants our mind. He wants our strength. He wants all of it. To kind of illustrate this idea, imagine you own a house. Okay? You have a house. You're making your mortgage payments, and you're renovating it so that it's the way you want it to be. Okay? That's how we all do it, right? And then money gets tight, and you go, well, time to put the renovations on hold. And the money gets tight again, and suddenly you're missing your mortgage payments, and the bank's threatening to repossess your home. And you're like, oh crap, what do I do? And then we'll say a really rich, benevolent billionaire comes along and says, I'm going to make sure you don't lose your house. I'm going to buy your house from you, and I'm not going to evict you. You're going to stay in your house. You're going to continue living there. I will own it. You're not going to lose it to the bank. All the bills are covered. Like, you're going to be good. We'd like that, right? Right? Would you like that idea? It'd be really nice, wouldn't it? So imagine that's happened. Okay. So now you're in a situation where you still have your house, the mortgage is now paid off, the debts are paid off, someone else owns it, but you still live there. And now that it belongs to this other person, they go, well, I'd like to renovate it, and I'm going to renovate it according to how I like it. And so then they get into your kitchen, and they're changing your cabinets, and they're repainting things, and they're changing the flooring and everything like that. And you're kind of like, oh, it feels a little uncomfortable, but I guess it makes sense. You own the place after all. And so they're doing some work. And then they say, well, time to renovate your bedroom. And you're like, whoa, that's a little off limits. That's a little bit scary for me. Like that feels like my space, but it doesn't belong to you. And they get in there, and they start renovating in there, and then they say, we want to get into your closet. We got to renovate the closet. And that's where you've got all the stuff that you're ashamed of hidden, buried deep in there. You don't want him to see it. But he owns it. And he has to get in there and renovate it and change it. And as time goes on and on, this renovation job is done by this person who owns your house and allows you to live in it. And you think to yourself, what if he finds that thing? What if he finds hazards that need to be corrected? What if I'm embarrassed about how poor a job I did on my renovation work? What if I make a mistake and I trash it again and he has to do it again? He comes, he takes it over, he renovates it according to how he wants it to be. And we simply submit and surrender to that. This is what sanctification is. Jesus is the one who is purchasing the home. He is the one covering the debts. He is the one doing the work of the renovation in our life so that we can be more like him. And wherever those places are in your life that feel uncomfortable, that feel like, hands off, Jesus, that's mine, I don't want you to have it. He's saying, no, that's mine. I own that. I'm going to renovate that. You are going to let me in to change that. He wants to change how you operate. He wants to guide you into new things. He wants to clean up the mess that you've made. He wants to change how you deal with your problems. He wants to change how you are dealing with your marriage and with your kids and with your finances and your goals and everything to be more like him. Jesus is doing a work of renovation in our hearts and in our souls and in our minds, so that we can think like him, act like him, be like him. God wants all of you. He wants those hidden places. He wants those secret places, those insecure places, those anxious places in your heart. And he wants to renovate them to be more like him. The doctrine of sanctification means that we can be made holy as God is holy, that we are set apart by him. This is made available to us through the work of Jesus on the cross and through the work of the Holy Spirit now living in us. Jesus meets us in the middle of our struggle and cleanses us from our sin. We believe that the victory of Jesus on the cross is now our victory over sin. It is not by my effort. It's not my trying. It is the work of Jesus. He is the one who is victorious, and I share in his victory. God doesn't want us to try to be like him. He wants to make us be like him. It's not about our behavior. It's not about following a list of rules and being legalistic about it. It's about being set apart by God for the work of the Holy Spirit to renovate our innermost being to be more like him. When we let Jesus sanctify us, our bad habits stop, our good habits take over. The appeal of sin diminishes or even stops. We begin to have greater clarity about things and the direction God is taking us. We are able to hear God's voice more clearly. We're able to think clearer. Our reactions to bad news or to problems change. Our motives change. And we may not be perfect in our behavior, but everything becomes purified to be more like Jesus. We're not just waiting out heaven so that we can just go on to perfection. God is doing that work in us now. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We're going to go there someday. He wants what's up there for us to be down here now and experiencing it now. He's doing the work of sanctification in us now. So how do we do this? How do we get sanctified and get super Christian? How do we get sanctified? We got to sell the house to Jesus. We got to let him have our lives. We have to surrender our life completely to him. Every little aspect. We got to surrender our family. We got to surrender our kids. We got to surrender our money. We got to surrender our plans. We got to take the steps he is telling us to take to be obedient to the calling he is placing on our lives. We have to be honest with him. We have to let him be the king in our hearts. We have to trust him. We don't need to become monks and go live in the desert and do weird chants. We don't need to become better than other people. We just need to be like him by letting him make us like him. We don't need to be scared to let him in. We don't need to be scared that God's going to reject us because of the messes we've made in the past. We don't need to be scared that we're going to lose something that we enjoy right now because he has something better for us than what the things we enjoy. We don't need to be scared that we're going to lose what keeps us stable. He is who makes us stable. We don't need to be scared of what we will lose that makes us happy. He is our source of joy and happiness. You don't need to be scared of the cost of following him because he's paid it all. Yes, we have to surrender. We have to submit. We have to obey. That's really all that is on us to do. Surrender. But he does the work to make us like him. God wants all of you to make him like him so that others would see Christ in us, so that we could glorify and magnify his name through everything that we do, so that we can experience the life he wants for us, not the one we're trying to get for ourselves. He wants all of us, every part of us. The worship team's going to come and lead us in a few more songs, and as they do that, there's some of you who maybe you've grown up in church a long, long time, 20 plus more years or so, and your testimony is still something that's from way, way back. God's not done with you. There is more to be done in your life for you now. There's some of you where following Jesus is a relatively new thing, maybe in the last 5 years or so. And you have seen him make changes in you already, and you celebrate that. But he is not done. There is more to be done in and through you. And there's some of you who you know that there's parts of your life not yet surrendered to him. Could be your marriage, could be your kids, could be your finances, could be your home, whatever it is. Today is a day for each one of us to lay ourselves before him and let him speak and say, this is what I want to renovate. I want to change this in your life. I want to make you more like Jesus. Let him do it. Surrender, obey, submit to what he wants to do in you today. Because God wants all of us.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.